The epistle reading for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost comes from James, the third chapter. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us. But He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this good day to be together here in this place of your word and prayer and sacrament. And we pray that you would bless us with this wisdom that comes down from above, not like the world's wisdom. And though it may be in stark contrast to the way things often happen in our day-to-day lives, we pray that you would help us to see how good it is to be last and servant of all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So last Sunday, Pastor Adel taught us from the book of James, where James warned us about the way we speak to other people, especially the way we speak in hurtful and harmful ways to others. But now James moves on a little bit further, and here he talks about how we must be careful the way we speak about ourselves. He talks about the problem of being boastful. He speaks of this problem of pride and the thing that Jesus is speaking about in the gospel lesson, when he says that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. He questions the disciples, "What were you arguing about?" And they tell him that they've been arguing about who would be the first and who would be the greatest of all. Here we see this tremendous contrast between the way of the world, where everyone strives to get ahead, to be served, whereas Jesus says, no, we strive to get behind so that we can be servants of all. So I have a little outline in the bulletin. I hope it helps you to follow along. Let's begin with the problem of the sin of pride. The book of Proverbs is the only book of the Bible that's specifically written for children, youth in particular. It's interesting. This book is specially set out for this goal. And I highly recommend it as one of the first books that any young person should read if they are going to attempt to read a book of the Bible. Right in the middle of that book, chapter 16, verse 18, I think in most translations this is the middle verse of the book. And there it says, "Pride goes before the fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction." So before that verse, after that verse, there are a lot of proverbs like that. Solomon, the author of Proverbs, knew the destructiveness of pride in his own life. We go back a little further, though, to his father's life, David. We see a tremendous example of the power and the success of humility. When he faced off with the giant, the Philistine, Goliath, who was very proudful and boastful, David, however, went out with a humble spirit, a spirit, an attitude of prayer, and he said, "Lord, you have delivered the lion and the bear into my hand, and you'll deliver this unbeliever, this one who's trying to wreck the people of Israel, you'll deliver him into my hand today." His confidence was in his humility and his trust before God. We've all heard the stories and seen the headlines of boastful men who have fallen, just as Solomon said. Businessmen, politicians, athletes, preachers. But I want to start by stressing this. We must be careful when we hear about these things that we don't think this is a problem for the few. This is a problem for the elites of our society. That's not at all the way Jesus speaks of it. Because the disciples themselves were not the elite people of their day. They were the humble, ordinary people, just like you and me. And they still had a problem with pride. Because you see, we are all tempted to be the king of our own little hill. That could be a little hill between brothers and sisters. That could be a little hill between husband and wife. That could be a little hill of some board here at our church. It could be a little hill of some group of friends that you might have. Wherever we're more than one person together in the same place, we're going to have this temptation of, "I'm first and you're second to me." Jesus warns us against this and leads us to the next point, What does it mean to be a servant? And I'm going to tell you that right off the bat, one of the keys to understanding that, to be last and servant of all, is this. Whoever receives one of these little children in my name, he took a child as an example and put this child before them. He said, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. A number of years ago, I have a vivid experience of this. It happened on Beltline Road at the stoplight right in front of the Schnucks grocery store. I was driving one of my sons to his Cory League baseball game. And along the way, I told him, I said, I want you to do your best, but I don't want you to be prideful about it. And there was this kind of quiet little pause as he was sitting there and thinking about what I said, and very humbly he asked me, but Dad, I thought we were supposed to be proud. And right there I saw the great clash, the clash between what Jesus is speaking about and what the world lives for. And I knew he had been pumped with this. Yep, we're going to win, win, win. You got to be proud for your team, etc., etc., etc. This is the way all things function in the world. And I said to him, I wouldn't have told you to do your best if I didn't want you to win. I want you to win, but I don't want you to be proud about that by forgetting about Jesus. See, this is the heart and key of all of this. To be a servant is to remember Jesus first, and everything else falls in line behind that. This is the precipice upon which we all stand, and from which we will either receive the success that God wants us to have in our life, or fall to our failure and to our destruction. Whether or not Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil, and even over our own sinful selves, is the most important thing in our lives. Now, there's a lot of great examples of people who have lived this principle out in their lives in various ways. I think of people like St. Athanasius and Martin Luther, men who clearly put their lives on the line for the sake of the truth of God's word. Musicians like J.S. Bach and George Frideric Handel, who achieved great success in the eyes of the world, but in their own eyes, it was really always and only about the glory of God. Think about scientists like Johannes Kepler, Michael Faraday, and all. Although he wasn't a Christian, Isaac Newton definitely fell into this category of those who put God first in their lives. Athletes like Tim Tebow and Kurt Warner, George Foreman, the boxer slash Baptist minister, and probably one of the most famous of all, the track star Eric Liddell, who in the 1924 Olympics gave up a gold medal in his fastest race, the 100 meters, because they had scheduled that race on Sunday. And for Liddell, going to church on Sunday was more important than running a race in the Olympics. All of these people have one thing in common with each other, and that one thing in common is that they would gladly trade all the earthly success that they had achieved in life for the success that God had achieved for them in Jesus. Let's explore that difference a little bit further. What makes them different? Several things. First of all, Jesus is not an ornament in their life. Jesus is not secondary. He is first and foremost and primary. His life, his death, his resurrection, his second coming, his salvation of their sinful souls is above all the greatest blessing, the most important thing in their lives. Worshiping regularly would be a priority in their lives, not occasionally. We don't schedule Jesus around our life, but rather our life around Jesus, if we are to realize the success that God wants us to have in our lives. Daily Christian faith, Bible reading, and prayer. Wanting others to succeed just as much and even more than ourselves. Never looking at others as stepping stones, but always wanting them as well to find the full success that God desires for them in their lives. And they also see the success of little things being just as important as those things that they have succeeded to in their lives. Like the nursing home aide who simply does her job faithfully, serving others. They see that as just as good as anything that they had ever accomplished in their lives. And so that brings me now to this important conclusion. It's going to take a little longer to explain this, but I want to explain this very carefully. I know that some of you sitting out there kind of hearing this message, there's a little bit of a kind of a groan in your heart. And certainly there is in mine about this as well sometimes, because this is part of our sinful nature. Church every Sunday? You know, the last shall be first. I got to be a servant of all. And all of those kinds of things, our sinful nature resists that. Our sinful nature doesn't want to go in that direction at all. And that's normal, and that's natural. But we have another side to our life, those of us who have been baptized into Christ and who stand before this cross, and we realize and remember, yes, that really is the most important thing in our lives. We know that intellectually, but it is the Holy Spirit who has to make that real in our hearts and in our lives. And that's our faith side, our renewed side of life. And this is really what Jesus is saying to the disciples and to all of us today. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. We sang it in the psalm from Psalm 37. Commit your way unto the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. He is the one who ultimately creates all success in our lives. And so we put our trust in God that it will be okay for me. It will be okay for me to trust in Christ above all things, to put him first, and then I'll do my best in everything else in life, and we'll see how it plays out. And God's promise is that it will play out well for you. It is so healthy for you to do it this way, to think about it this way. It is psychologically healthy for you to think this way. We do this when we walk into a room sometimes. We walk into a room with a bunch of people that we don't know. What do we immediately begin to do? We start sizing ourselves up, comparing ourselves. I'm better than that person. I'm smarter than that person. I'm wealthier than this person, or whatever. Or we also do this. We walk into a room. Oh, boy, I'm out of place here. These people are way more important than I am. You know, who am I? Shouldn't be here. And we think down badly about ourselves. Now, think about this. Both of those attitudes are the two branches that come off of the same trunk. And that trunk of that tree is pride. Instead, you should be able to walk into that room and say, I am who I am by the grace of God. And you are who you are by the grace of God. And I'm thankful for what God has done for me in my life. And I'm thankful for what God has done for you in your life. And the best thing of all is that God can take it and work it all together for his good and for his glory. That's healthy. And that's the way we should think about ourselves and about others. And then this is also very important. Very important for us to think about. You know, when Jesus says you've got to be last and servant of all, I need to be first in everything in your life. You know, we always start thinking, oh man, that's going to cause me to have a little failure. You know, like Eric Liddell, if I go to church on Sunday, I'm going to miss that race. I'm going to lose that gold medal. And yet, he is now remembered for that among so many people. And that became his greatest success in his life. When we put our trust in God, oftentimes the success that we set for ourselves, the goals that we have for ourselves in lives, God has even higher goals than we have. And he will take us to even better places than we would have taken ourselves on our own. God promises ultimate success for us in Christ. And so everything else is just a blessing. Everything else is just icing on that cake of God's salvation for us. We sang about that beautifully in this hymn just a moment ago. Till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you, at length believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. Amen. Please rise, and we sing together our prayer response, the offertory.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant health and prosperity to all who are afflicted, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness, and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
According to your good pleasure, O Lord, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostility and walk with us in meekness and in peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity. Especially this week, we ask for Cindy Buckner, Brian Rogers, Susan Wolf, Henry Gerber, and Shannon Clark. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant to us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and sight, and we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
our trespasses, as
my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And the same way also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul in life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his